Welcome to Paper Money, the bi-weekly podcast covering the business side of the game industry, from Hackmaster to Hunger Games Training Days, Kenzer & Company to WizKids / NECA. I'm Ben Clark.
And I'm Rhett Kipp.
Today is October 8th, 2010. You know, Rhett, I kind of thought you'd jump in. I thought you'd comment. I actually had an RPG in our game stuff up there.
I didn't think it needed anything specifically stated as, you know, unique.
Okay, all right, that's fine. That's fine.
It wasn't D&D 4th edition.
No. Although we may talk later about my recent purchase of Castle Ravenloft. That said, hey, let's talk about our sponsors this week. Purple Pawn, who graciously hosts our podcast on their website. Great site for game news from all across the spectrum. And our other sponsor, GameThonic.com. That's GameThonic, GameThonic.com. 40% off all deck building games not named Dominion this month, and 30% off pretty much everything else. And if you're listening to the show, there's a coupon code. Type in paper money, all one word, to get an extra 5% off your entire order. So 45% off all deck building games not named Dominion in October.
Well, that's a good thing because I understand their expansion's due imminently.
Hey, like I said, the Dominion Prosperity, not on the list apparently. It's the special is all deck building games not named Dominion.
Well, there we go.
So Heroes of Graxia, no problem. All right, hey, let's move into the news this week. We got a light show. Thank goodness, actually, because I am swamped with cutting wood and a few other things that where real life keeps intruding. Go ahead.
I just have this great vision of you, you know, splitting wood.
Yuck it up, Buzzball.
Yeah, I was going to say, you and Uncle Abe and, you know, splitting those rails and getting everything ready for winter so you don't freeze. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that you do live in the log cabin.
It's not a log cabin. It might be a farmhouse originally erected at some time after 1850 and prior to the end of the Civil War, but darn it, it's not a log cabin. And I don't have the chickens anymore, so there will be no random rooster crows during the podcast.
Yeah, that disappoints me, that whole aspect.
Yeah, well, I took a phone call the other day for work, and someone was alarmed, actually, because I was at a neighbor's who has chickens. So, but anyways, I digress. See, we say we have a light show. It's going to be a short show, and we find a way to pad it out. Anyways, that said, news this week. One, Mattel has a huge recall this week. There's no games affected. This is a massive recall. And honestly, these are design defects. These aren't necessarily lead paint things. This isn't I saw a lot of the posters when I originally read the story on CNN.com saying, this is China trying to kill us. And I'm like, no, it was just bad design right here in the United States.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting given all the recalls from the last few years that this is just, you know, your standard defective product.
Yeah, and it goes back a long ways. I mean, this is product that goes back to the 90s, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
But again, no games affected on this. But again, this is just a continuing, there's this issue of safety. I'll be honest, I have heard no news, by the way, on the CPSIA, other than I'm seeing a lot more games listed as being aged 13 and up.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that before, and we won't talk about it very much here. But I do like the fact that this is the company who's exempt from that. You know, that situation.
Because have their own internal testing.
They have their own internal system. Yeah. And that's why the largest recall of the year goes to Mattel.
Yeah. You know, I still haven't seen, I got to figure Hasbro is going to be on that bandwagon at some point with the internal testing, but I haven't seen any news on it.
I think folks, they're just ignoring
if you're big, you can write the law. And if you can write the law, you can exempt yourself from it. If you're small, you have to follow the law that they made for you, which generally makes it harder for you to compete. Congratulations. Welcome to the world. Mattel has a huge recall. No games affected. Really not a whole lot of – I mean, these aren't like toys. Like they're going to – a lot of these were – there were high chairs and there was the riding –
tricycles.
The tricycle with the poorly placed large plastic key. Again, you need to take this – if you're designing anything more really than a war game – you do need to take this stuff into account a little bit, okay? You know, if you've got funny parts in your game, chances are someone will misuse them. Anyways, the other piece of news that I wanted to mention, and this is kind of a follow-up to last week, For those of you who get the site from thepurplepawn.com and not through iTunes, Yehuda, the Berlinger, the game designer and the guy who's really the driving force behind Purple Pawn, posted on our show notes that Yehuda did the basic journalism thing that you and I, Rhett, sadly did not do at the last show, which was they talked to North Star Games. For those of you who didn't listen to the last show, we went on ad nauseum about intellectual property and North Star Games and the possibility of and how their big game Wits and Wagers has just got new competition from Trivial Pursuit, Bet You Know It. And we went on and on and on about it. But Yehuda actually went and contacted North Star Games. And lo and behold, North Star Games says, no, we don't have a problem with it. So thank you, Yehuda. So
just ignore our 20 minutes of last week's show.
Yeah, go back and just, yeah, put the mute button on that part of the show. You know, it's still an important issue. Intellectual property. I just saw an article in out of Canada that a board game company had actually just had their intellectual property seized for non-payment of debt. And they had gone to court and said, you know, you can seize property, but you can't seize intellectual property for non-payment of debt. And now, again, this is Canadian law, so there's some goofy stuff going on. But again, IP is as a game company, it's all you got. Right? I mean,
that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, yeah, as you're talking here, Eagle.
Well, Eagle went out of business, and I looked at their inventory list when they were going out because they were really – their inventory, we were thinking about buying it at the company I was at the time. And it was terrible. I mean, they had like 20,000 copies of their poker video game. But they weren't, you know, but the IP for War, Age of Imperialism and the other board games was that went elsewhere.
Right.
And you know what? The IP is still valuable. People are still producing those titles. Fred Distribution.
We've talked about that for a long time. I mean, you know, there are companies that don't exist who still get credits because they still rake in the money because their IPs are out there still producing.
I know. It's like my dream job is to come up with intellectual property, like, say, Stratego.
But every 50 years, you'd have to relicense it to someone new.
Exactly. By the way, I haven't seen anything new at all on the Stratego front after it was moved from Milton Bradley over to Spin Masters.
Oddly enough, I hadn't seen it in any of the stores that I was looking at earlier this season. I don't know if it's in there now. I haven't been in the stores yet this month.
Yeah, personal opinion, it's going to be a disaster.
I don't think it was the best choice, but again, we don't know why they chose to do so. After 50 years, it was something.
I think it was a grandchild who took control of the family business and shook things up. And anyways, we'll see. It's fourth quarter, and Lord knows that if you're going to sell Stratego, now is the time. We'll talk about that in a minute. The other thing, we got a few things in the news. Lexiconum, this has been around for a while. I just saw an article on purplepawn.com about it. And this is basically it's a wiki of the official canon of Warhammer and Warhammer 40K, right?
Yeah, I really like that one.
The reason I bring it up is games we talked earlier this year about Games Workshop sending cease and desist letters.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out how Lexiconum can do that.
Is it because it's to the right people?
I mean, it must be either that or they decided that that's the one they're going to let go. Maybe because there's no advertising on the site. I don't know. I really don't know. I was over on Lexiconum for about 10 minutes earlier today. It looks cool.
Yeah, no, I really admire it. I think it's an interesting process that they've given to themselves, given that Games Workshop and Canon are kind of on opposite sides of a fence from one another.
Right. Yes.
You know, unlike certain companies whose canon may remain the same after year after year after year, Workshop is renowned for, you know, we need to change something, just change canon. So we got this cool new figure.
All I'm saying is that I hope they don't get a C&D letter. It looks like a cool project. God forbid someone enjoys a Games Workshop game enough to donate their time and energy to playing it a better experience.
Yeah, well, there we have it.
Yeah. All right. In other news, Mayfair is co-sponsoring Origins next year. Now, Red and I are split over this, and so if anyone's got any info that we don't have access to, I say this is no big deal. Catalyst Game Labs for the 25th anniversary of Battletech was a co-sponsor, and they had some special events. other than Mayfair having over 5,000 square feet of booth space at Origins, I think this is not necessarily a big deal. But Rhett?
I think it's because they've invested more than normal into the situation. I mean, there's always co-sponsors. There's been co-sponsors for Gen Con. There's been co-sponsors for Origins for years. I think it's the level that Mayfair seems to be co-sponsoring this at, which is why Gamma made it a specific news announcement. I think they've just funded a lot more than has been traditional for any other manufacturer for Origins.
All right. So, well, we will see. I actually have to talk to Mayfair in the next week or two, so we'll see how that goes. Anyways, yeah. The last bit of real news that we have is Barnes and Noble seems to be expanding its game section for the fourth quarter, or possibly permanently. We don't know. Now, Rhett, you've actually been in the store and seen this. I haven't seen it at the BNN near here.
I've seen it. They're using end caps. They've expanded it to something around 12 running feet, which is, pretty substantial. And they've expanded into beyond their normal board game, mystery type of games into the more traditional Euro games that we've talked about. There's a lot of real stuff that's on the local shelves, a lot of Mayfair things that are on the local shelves. I didn't get enough of a time or chance to actually see if there was anybody else. I didn't notice if there was any Days of Wonder or if there was any of the Z-Man games or any of those. But we'll have to look into this a little bit more as time goes by. From what I understand from a few of the people who I know that work there, this is definitely a fourth quarter expansion. How much shrinkage we'll see post fourth quarter is yet to be seen.
Well, I usually see a lot of shrinkage in January.
That would be my anticipation. Like Sears, Sears
That
again is expanding that big game section this year.
was a cold weather joke.
Ha ha, yeah. Ha ha. Oh, and the
Okay,
jokes
all
have been
right.
flying above my head at
Yeah, there
10,000
goes our
feet.
G rating. We're on PG now. Anyways, speaking of fourth quarter, by the way, the local Barnes and Noble near me is trying to launch a game night on Wednesdays. But by I near me, by the way, is we've just talked about me living in the country. It's approximately 45 minutes from here. And but anyways, they're trying to do a I know they're trying to do a game night on Wednesdays. But their game section is still traditionally lots of party games and lots of general interest type stuff. They'll have Settlers of Catan. They've got a couple of Euros, but I haven't seen any big branch out into the Euro, honestly. For the holiday season, I think it makes a ton of sense for them to get some higher, basically some higher dollar value items, right? So you can gift somebody a copy of Dominion, maybe.
Yeah, I'm interested in this. I'm also interested to see if Borders follows suit. If Borders takes a
Yeah.
look at this and decides, since Borders has traditionally carried a reasonable game section, it'll be interesting to see if they expand theirs as well.
I
If not
agree.
this year, then next.
Hopefully this year, Borders needs help. That said, let's talk about the fourth quarter. We don't have an interview this week, so Rhett and I decided this is our special fourth quarter preview show. We're going to talk about this for game manufacturers, retailers, and game designers. Now, let's knock the easy one out of the way. Fourth quarter is upon us. This is the time when non-gamers buy games.
Absolutely.
And as in fact, I think this is from Mike Gray. 50% of Hasbro's sales come in the fourth quarter. 50% of those sales are to moms. I would not be surprised if that was more than 50%, in fact.
I was going to say, yeah, that would be the only surprising thing to me was that only 50%
50%.
was the moms. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's huge, in that, okay, one, you're selling your game to mom, really, in the long run. But the other thing here is that basically, this is when people buy games. People who don't normally ever think of going to a game store pop into a game store this time of year. So let's talk about the easy one. Let's talk about what retailers should do to maximize some fourth quarter profits. Now, Rhett, I'm going to give the easy one, which is this is the time when non-gamers buy games. So stock some games for non-gamers. All right, this is the time to carry, say, a nice chess set.
Yes,
Okay, if
time to
you're
expand the inventory. Go chess, Mahjong, depending on your locale. My locale, Mahjong's always a big hit at this time of season. Dominoes.
The now in terms of games that gamers like that you can sell to non-gamers, there's a couple of standbys here. Settlers of Catan is always a decent pitch. Carcassonne, I am the world's worst Carcassonne player, so I'm the ideal salesperson for this, because I can play and lose a demo consistently. But Carcassonne is one of those games. It's friendly. If you show someone how to play Carcassonne, they'll like the game. Okay. Dominion, I think, is also a good pitch. This is kind of a new one. The thing is that fantasy theme is going to put off a lot of people. So it's, but if it's one of those games where if you put it out and you kind of explain to people how the game goes, right? Ditch the, don't use the fantasy theme as part of your pitch. Don't necessarily pitch it as like Magic the Gathering deck building, but if you show the people how it plays, I think this is a great non-gamer game.
Yeah,
Okay.
I totally agree with you on that one.
And then finally, this is one that a lot of stores aren't going to think about: licensed Monopoly games or licensed games of any time, of any kind. All right, people know Monopoly; it's a safe bet. They're going to come into the store, say, "My 11-year-old cousin, really likes games. You can sell Spider-Man Monopoly or Transformers Monopoly." There's also going to be, as you know, there's licensed versions of the Clue, of Clue. Last year, I believe Clue: The Office was such a seller; it sold out. But licensed products like that of familiar titles, right, are easy sells. And again, a licensed Monopoly game retails for $30. Okay, it's not like you're making a $12 sale. You're selling a $30 game that's not in Walmart, so it's a much easier sell.
Yeah, that's really what you're trying to find is the types of products that aren't being used as loss leaders by the big box stores.
Bing, bing, bing. But you know, the other thing I was going to say on that, and this is my last thing to say on games, because I'm sure you've got some good advice as well on promos and other things. Price point is also key. You are not going to sell Agricola, okay, to a non-gamer at $80. Okay, you might, not even Dust Tactics. You're not going to sell those games to non-gamers. Look at the $20 games. Look at that $20 to $30 price point as your sweet spot. Maybe even a little less, right? You're Back to the Future at $20. The Mayfair Family Business Alibi type stuff at $20. Hey, Where's My Fish Deluxe, I think, is at 35, which is at the very edge of that range. But these are the kind of things that, because this is what they're comfortable spending, the non-gamer.
Yeah, we've always seen that, that for us, Catan has always been a traditional fourth quarter sale product, more so even than it is throughout the rest of the season, and it sells very well during the rest of the season. I'm guessing that the store probably does upwards of 12 turns a year without fourth quarter Christmas sales on Catan, which is pretty impressive.
Rhett, for our non-retailers, tell them what a turn is.
Number of times it sells per year. The important part of turns is that you're looking for a product that's selling for you typically around 4 times a year minimally. You want to turn your entire sell effectively the dollars, not necessarily every item in it, but sell the dollars in a section 4 times a year.
And that's now let's face it, that's a slow turn rate for most stores. Okay. Not game stores, right? In the game industry, 4 turns a year is not bad.
Well, I was going to say 4 turns a year for a section, okay, is what we're talking about, not by a unit. There's units
Okay.
out there that can do, just tremendous numbers of turns. But for an entire section, and so what we're talking about here is your board game section. It's the dollars involved in it. And, you may see a game only sell once or twice a year. Should you carry it? Well, that's, at your discretion. If you have a store like the one in my area, they want to be completists. They want to have people feel, that when they come in, they can find anything. So they're willing to accept those kinds of turns. I have other stores that I've worked with in past years, who want to turn everything quickly and get rid of the slow sellers. They don't mind getting rid of the slow sellers.
Yeah,
And
it
then,
does affect your carry cost, right? If
absolutely.
you have a $50 game that turns twice a year, you have basically, at any given time, you've got $30 tied up in that piece of inventory.
Absolutely.
And okay, that doesn't sound bad until you consider the fact that most stores are gonna, if you carry 100 titles, That's $3,000. Bang.
I was going to say
actually, multiply. No, sorry. Yeah, more than that. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, multiply that by the total number of units that the stores carry, and you understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, Fantasy Flight Games has a product line that's probably just Fantasy Flight is probably 200 plus SKUs.
Right.
Now, okay, so if you want to carry just FFG and your average item cost, let's say your average item cost for FFG works out to $20, it's still a boatload of money. And that's just FFG. Now we're talking about Rio Grande, also 200 to 250, Mayfair over 100, 150. So that really, that turn cost, that carrying cost on the inventory, adds up, which is why, let's bring it back to fourth quarter, you only carry the deluxe chest set during the fourth quarter.
Absolutely. There's reasons to bump for fourth quarter, and there's reasons to buy in early. People have already started their Christmas shopping. People are pushed at a consumer level to start shopping early. It's things like Hallmark. Hallmark introduces their Christmas ornaments in July. we will see. Right now, if you go into any of the big box stores, you know, Halloween's the deal, but there's a little bit of build already towards Christmas stuff.
I guarantee you, yes, on November 1st, that Halloween candy is going to be gone. By November 2nd, the Christmas stuff is up.
The Christmas stuff is up before that even, yeah. But it doesn't take precedence until, after Halloween, given that Halloween is now the second largest sales period of the year for big box stores.
I was not aware of that. Yeah. Thanksgiving, by the way, which is my favorite holiday, apparently not on the list. Just gets completely. They can't find a way to merchandise turkeys enough, I guess. But anyways, let's move on from retailers. Game manufacturers. Now this one's a little more difficult in terms of what to do during the holiday season. The main thing here is one, if your product isn't out yet, it's not coming out. Okay, if you're lucky. All right, if you can get it into the hands of hobby retailers the week after Thanksgiving, you still have a chance at making some kind of a Christmas. If you haven't, but if you're not in the hobby market or you haven't already built up your distribution orders, you're not going to make fourth quarter.
Yeah, you really have to have your product in distribution at the latest at the end of October. It needs to be ready there for the push. Traditional game stores are always a little slower than, let's say, the mass merchants, including in that case, people like Barnes & Noble here, and when they'll expand their inventory.
Yeah, Barnes & Noble place their game orders the day after Labor Day. They're done. They're not going to pick you up. The thing I wanted to, and again, we're talking about new titles here. The other thing for game manufacturers is don't let people forget to reorder your existing games during the holiday season. As you can imagine, the retailers are just mobbed with both new titles and new customers and everything else. You need to find a way to get the word out that your game is still out there.
Yeah, it's an important one. There's a lot of people who, a title comes in and they just miss it. It sells very quickly or something like that. They didn't bring in enough inventory to start with, and they've just lost it off their inventory.
Yeah, and what's going to happen is your product is going to the buzz dies, and then after Christmas, it's going to be hard to pick back up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
An additional point there is, be careful of your control on in print. There's a number of games I know who have traditionally gone out of print during the Christmas season, while those sales are still in high demand.
You want to name any names?
I won't name any names of Settlers of Catan and the old days of Mayfair games, which, given now that Settlers is close to 20 years old, this goes back to its earlier days. But, it was always disaster at Mayfair that, here we would hit November and there was no Settlers. It'd run out of print and they hadn't bothered to set up a print run to, capitalize on the Christmas sales.
Yeah, and for the record, I really think they've got that.
They are very good at that now.
Yes, yes. In fact, I would say one of the better, not to mention their competition, Rio Grande, who can't seem to keep certain games in stock. Now, that said, it's fourth quarter. You're a game designer. You're feeling lonely because you're not a manufacturer, not a retailer. They're getting all the love right now. Really, now is the time to basically, one, if you don't have a professional demo made yet, start figuring out how to get one ready, because it's gonna take 4 weeks just to get a demo done. Okay. And you're gonna want one for New York Toy Fair.
That's
Or
right.
God forbid, you're gonna take one to GTS, which I think is a harder show to sell at, 'cause I think, but that's just me. But now is the time, right? If you don't have the art done on your demo, you're gonna have to get your art done for your prototype now. Because that's gonna take anywhere from 4 to 12 weeks, depending on how picky you are, who you're working with, or whatever. So now is the time to gear up for next spring. Okay, it's you're gonna tell yourself, I don't need to worry about this. I've got oodles and oodles of time, folks. Let me tell you, when I was in printing, okay, we would just finish the Christmas rush, right? Really, about the beginning of, by the middle of December, we would be going great guns printing games until really like December 10th or 15th, and then it like falls off like somebody threw a hammer. But immediately after that, we start getting hammered with quotes because people realize New York Toy Fair is coming up at the beginning of February and they need a price on their game. Okay, so then all of a sudden quotes, the quoting started getting backed up all throughout January, and that took a lot longer to get done. So again, start thinking about that kind of stuff right now.
Yeah, it's that's really important. I mean, one of the things that people forget as a window is the month of December is truly a nightmare for getting work accomplished because outside of China,
Because workers don't care.
well, yeah,
No,
but
I'm teasing.
outside of China, the problem is that there's about a 2 week period of where most people aren't at capacity or even close to capacity. They're shut down for the holidays.
Yeah, there's
and
vacations going on, people with their families. In some cases, July 4th and the week of July 4th and the week of Christmas were traditionally when a lot of printing plants would just shut down for a week.
yeah, so the thing there is, you need to plan around those. And again, that means, you have time now. We're in October. If you have your stuff out there and ready to go in November, come January when you're needing those final copies of things to go out there and
Right, that reminds me.
come on, get your pitches and everything ready. They'll be there.
By the way, we were talking about the I'm gonna interject a story from the olden days. Do you remember when Fallen, not Fallen Empires, I think it was the one before that, from Wizards of the Coast. Do you remember everyone freaked out because everyone in Europe went on vacation because they were still shipping the cards over from Cardamundi in Belgium, and no one
Yes.
knew that all of Europe took off in August? Because the U.S.
Yeah.
game industry had basically never printed anything in Europe before that anyone cared about.
Not in any
And
quantity,
so,
yeah.
yeah, so back in the 90s, like, so these everyone expected these games really like at the beginning or middle of August for Gen Con and were flabbergasted to find out that the factory was shut down and they were all on vacation for like the month of August and nobody got the product until September.
Yeah, it's always one of the more entertaining ones is figuring out, which European nation goes on vacation in a holiday, as they would refer
Yes,
to it.
I just assume that all of them are on vacation in August.
Actually, July is France's big one
Is it?
normally.
Okay, that's because everyone goes to France, I guess, in August, maybe. But anyways, yeah, so these are all things, by the way, that one in particular, like Chinese New Year, is another time where, seriously, no, if you're, I mean, the Easter is a nice bump in sales, and there's stuff that comes out in the spring. Chinese New Year hits, what, end of January, February, sometime in there. And that becomes another issue on shipping. So again, anyways, these are more manufacturing issues, I guess. But game designers, one last thing you can do this fourth quarter is check out Chi-Tag in Chicago, the Chicago Toy and Game Fair. The game fair itself is like an okay show. It's very mass market oriented, and there's a lot of toy stuff. So if you're a gamer, not such a big deal. Mayfair is expected to have a big presence there this year for the first time. Right in their backyard. But it's the couple of days preceding, okay? They have like an inventor expo for the 2 days preceding the show, and there's a ton of great seminars. I haven't spoken there. My boss has spoken there, but I know Mike Gray has talked. Just basically, it's I want to say it's about $1,500 to get your foot in the door there. On the other hand, a boatload of information is imparted to you in those 2 days. So that's like really the one thing you can do that's not They get you out of the house as a game designer in the fourth quarter.
And also, I think it's a really good place to, if you have a product that you're trying to pitch, it gives you an opportunity to go out there and pitch. And, you know, if you don't sell while you're at the show, if it doesn't go over well, it gives you time to practice up and fix your pitch so that when you hit Toy Fair, you have another opportunity.
Well, if I recall, they had a room set up. Everyone had their demos or their prototypes or whatever of the game set up the last year I did it. And basically, you know, Mike Gray and Mike Hurdle from Hasbro walk through the room and take a peek. You know, I mean, this is, you couldn't buy that kind of exposure at New York Toy Fair.
Yeah.
So I thought that was, again, I'm kind of doing a little pitch for Merry Cousin and Chicago Toy and Game Fair and Center Expo, but really, you know, you could, at New York Toy Fair, you're not gonna be able to buy a meeting with Mike Gray for $1,500.
Yeah. I mean, it really is one of those opportunities where you get time, where the people who are there have time to do something in a different sense.
Yeah, Mike Gray might not pick up a game for Hasbro, but he might, you know, comment on it, you know, which at least gives you an idea of, you know, where to go. So anyways, not to make Mike Gray out like the, you know, Pantheon or anything, but again, he's one of the people I want to say, the guy from Rio Grande, what's his name? Help me out.
Cam.
Thanks. All right. Anyways, he was there the other year. So anyways, it's something you can do in fourth quarter, get you out of the house as a game designer. Might be worth doing, especially if you're thinking about self-publishing. So that said, Rhett, how can the people comment on all of the amazing advice that we just imparted?
Well, we love listener mail, and we would love to hear your comments. You can email us at papermoney@purplepawn.com. You can Skype us at Paper Money Podcast, all one word. I love that big word. Or you can phone us at 773-634-9377. Jingle to come.
That's right. And all this info is, I was going to say it's on our website, but actually I don't think we have it all on the website. But anyways, you can find us also online at purplepawn.com/papermoney. And if you're looking for our RSS feed, that's purplepawn.com/category/papermoney/feed.
Oh, I love that one.
Yes, it's a lot to say. That said, I have notes here. It says upcoming stuff, and I wrote, "Where is my copy of Dust Tactics?"
It's in the mail. The check is in the mail.
I know.
It's a big toy game. You know, as I remind people, it wasn't actually put together by Fantasy Flight, so it'll be interesting to see when this one delivers.
I'm assuming it'll show up before Thanksgiving, quite frankly. And the copies they had at Gen Con were production copies, so I'm assuming that they're in the pipeline here somewhere.
Yeah, they have production copies. They sold out of all their special edition copies already. Mm-hmm. I did notice that when I went over to the Dust Tactics site out of Italy, there was a lot of cool stuff that was going on over there, so maybe the Italians are pushing as well, since that is the point of origin for all of this. And, you know, all the same, I would, you know, we've had the pre-orders solicited about a month ago or more. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to risk it and think that we're going to have it by the end of the month, beginning of November.
That would be nice.
It's Fantasy Flight. You know, Fantasy Flight surprised me by releasing a Wings of War expansion with no hoopla, no, you know, statement of Gen Con, nothing at all. And suddenly, there it was in the boxes, ready to go on the shelf.
Red, I love you to death, but it's Wings of War. If you play Wings of War, you're going to find out about it, whether they promote it or not. And if you don't, you don't care.
Well, there you have it.
All right, on that note. Oh, you were supposed to take us into the outro.
I am supposed to take us into the outro.
God, you know, we've been doing this for 36 shows now, and I just figured that, you know, wow.
You know, I didn't know.
I thought you would pick up on the cues, yeah.
I thought we were still on Fantasy Flight, place we could roam for days.
Yeah, I know, which is why I was trying to cue us out of there.
Maybe
by show 40, you'll know where I'm going with this stuff. Anyways, hey, Rhett, take us out of here.
All right, that's it for this show. Our next show will be October 22nd. I'm Rhett Kipp.
And I'm Ben Clark. We'll talk to you then. No, it's just... it's charmingly amateurish there at the end. I love it.